Okay. So you have an interesting story in the Torah about Reuven and Gad. Reuven and Gad, two of the tribes of Israel. Reuven was the oldest son, and Gad is somehow further down. So in Perek Lamed Bet, let me just find it. Perek Lamed Bet. It says this, an amazing pasuk. Umikne Rav, haya levnei Reuven velevnei Gad, atzum od. I said, let's ignore the question of how Reuven and Gad happened to be the owners of large flocks of sheep, and that somehow that distinguished them from others. In other words, they had property that others didn't have. Where'd they get that from?
And they're in the desert. They're not in the valley.
Yeah, they're all in the desert. They're all not doing anything in particular. So how come they had atzum ma'ot? That sounds like a real something special. That they had sheep, that unbelievable amount of sheep. Vayir'u et eretz yazer v'eretz gil'ad. So now, okay, they saw the land named Yazer and the land called Gilad, and they saw, that's what we call today, you know, east of the Ramat HaGolan. And they realized that this would be very good for them, this place. They could graze the sheep and do whatever you do with sheep. Right, like in New Zealand, right? You can do whatever you do with the sheep, and okay. So, in other words, Bnei Israel had conquered this territory. This territory belonged to Sichon and to Og, two great kings, who were defeated by Bnei Israel, so that de facto they possessed land. A place on the eastern side of the Jordan River, right, so to speak, even though it was further north, but that doesn't matter. It was not in what we usually call Eretz Yisrael. Right? It was on the eastern side of the Jordan. And it said, Pasuk Bet, Vayavo b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven, Vayomru el Moshe v'el Elazar Kohen, v'nesiei Yehidah le'mor. So they took the initiative, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. They took the initiative and they came to Moshe and Eleazar Kohen. So it was after, Rashi says, after Aaron died, Eleazar Kohen. Well, the Siyei Ha'idah Lemo, they came to the higher authorities. And they said, again, Pasuk Gimel Atarot V'divon V'yazeh V'nimra V'cheshbon V'lalei U'shevo U'nevo U'va'on. All these places had been conquered by the Jews. And then Pasuk Dalet, Ra'i Ha'aretz, Asherika Hashem Levnei Adat Yisrael. This is the land that God gave us. Ika Hashem Levnei Adat Yisrael. Eretz Miknehi V'lavadecha Miknehi. So they have an idea. This land is good for grazing sheep. And we've got a lot of sheep. You got a lot of sheep. And they say to Moshe, if you find favor in your eyes, then give us this land. Give us this land, Lachuza. Al tavirenu et hayarden. So they come up with this remarkable idea. Here we were thinking all the time that Bnei Yisrael are on their way to Eretz Yisrael, and the conquest of Canaan. The conquest of Canaan is important. It's like the purpose of Am Yisrael is to conquer the land and then divide it up, and everybody gets a portion. And along come Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, and they say, we have a different idea. We don't have to do it that way. We can do it this way. We'll have will take the land, right? We'll graze our sheep. We'll live there. We'll take the land. We'll take our portion here and not over there. Now, this seems to me to be a kind of remarkable proposition. I mean, how could they say such a thing? How did they come up with such an idea? Right? Mom?
It's like Brooklyn.
It's what?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn?
Yeah. Why don't you stay there?
He says, look, it's a fit. You have all this grazing land that nobody's using, and we have a lot of sheep. So why should we go anywhere? I mean, this seems like a good place to be, you know, right here. So, again, Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Moshe livnei Gad v'livnei Reuven, achechem yavo l'milchama v'atem teishvu po. He says, you mean, Moshe Rabbeinu says, do you mean that everybody else will go to battle and you'll just sit here and do nothing for the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, v'atem teishvu po? V'lamatini un ed lev b'nei Yisrael me'avor el ha'aretz asher natan lehem Hashem. Why would you dissuade the rest of the people of Israel from going to Eretz Yisrael and taking over? So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say to them, look, you don't get it. You're not thinking correctly about what Am Yisrael is supposed to be doing. But he says, instead he says to them, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, you're going to cause an upheaval, things are not going to go well, the people in Israel see that you get land here, why would they want to go to Eretz Yisrael? They'll also want land from the land that we conquer. It's not an issue. The issue is not somehow the purpose of B'nai Yisrael, where B'nai Yisrael should be going, how they should be acting. The purpose is this going to mess us up? I mean, it's like a perfectly reasonable suggestion. That's the way it starts. And we just don't want it to mess everything up. So then Moshe Rabbeinu goes on and says, Ko'asu avotechem b'shalchi otam mikadesh barnea lirot et ha'aretz. Now he said, remember the meraglim. Remember the spies. They also thought they were doing the right thing. They also thought they were doing the thing. And look what happened to them. Vayalu al Nachal Eshkol, they came to the Eshkol River. Vayu'u et ha'aretz, vayaniu et b'nei Yisrael, right? They saw the land, and they kind of confused b'nei Yisrael to thinking it wasn't worth it. Levilti bol ha'aretz asher natan lahem Hashem. They're not going to come to the place that God had made for them. Vayichar af Hashem vayom ahu vayishaval ha'malomar. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is not speaking like an authoritative figure. He's acting regular, like a regular person. And he's saying, let's figure it out. Is this a good thing to do? Not such a good thing to do. I mean, why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu just tell them something? I mean, where was his limit? Where was Moshe Rabbeinu's limit? And then it says, "Vayichar af Hashem b'yom ahu v'yishaval amar." And on that day, the day of the Meraglim, when the spies went to Eretz Kenaan, God swore, "Im yiru anashim olim mimitzrayim miben esum shana v'amala et adamah shenishmati l'Avraham l'Yitzhak v'Yaakov." If he says it won't be, it's not possible that these people who left Mitzrayim and decided not to go to Eretz Kenan, right? Kilomal Uacharai didn't listen to me. Bilti Kalei ben Yifuneh, Knizi, Yoshua ben Nun, Kimal Uacharai Hashem. Except for these two characters that we know about, who were also spies, but they said something different. Kimil Uacharai Hashem. Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael v'yina'em, Vayini'ein b'midbar, arba'im shana, tom kol adar o'sar rabbeinei Hashem, and the the people for 40 years. Maybe it was 38 years, but for 40 years is like close. They all died. They all died in the desert, all the people who were involved at that time.
Did the tribe of Manasseh and the Reuven, who just wanted to live outside Israel, did they die as well? The tribe of Manasseh and Reuven, who wanted to live outside Israel,
no,
they wanted to live in that land, did they die out as well or not?
Well, 1 second, did you hear anything about Manasseh? We're talking about Reuven and Gad.
No, that's what I meant, sorry.
We're talking about Reuven and Gad. Yeah. We'll get to Manasseh. So, I mean, the first question that I have about this parasha is got to do with the role of Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, if Moshe Rabbeinu felt that their living, staying in Eretz Yazer in order to give the sheep grazing was somehow comparable to the Meraglim, to the spies who went to Eretz Canaan and then turned the Jewish people against Aliyah. Turned the Jewish people against Aliyah. So he said, if that's true, then why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu tell them it's forbidden? Why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu just say, you can't do it? And in fact, you know, that Moshe Rabbeinu will say at the end, okay, there'll be conditions. There'll be conditions, but we know that there was, according to the Psukim, there was this tragedy that took place in Bnei Israel called the Chet HaMeraglim, and that tragedy was that Bnei Israel decided not to accept the charge of going to Eretz Canaan and fighting and winning. Right, they didn't want to do that. And so their punishment was that they all died in the desert. You know, the desert, all they did was run around in circles. Right, okay, they didn't can't run around all the time. There were times when they camped. That's in the beginning of the parasha of Mas'ei, next week's parasha. Right, so that's a list of all the places where they stopped.
But wouldn't there be a worse situation if Moshe Rabbeinu came out and said, it's forbidden, and they said, well, we want to stay?
Yeah, I guess, but I still somehow think that Moshe Rabbeinu, in these parashiyot, as we've discussed, I mean, there was a certain amount of attrition on the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, probably for a good reason, as we spoke, it was... You can't live without Moshe Rabbeinu if you have Moshe Rabbeinu. In order to live without Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to kind of reduce him. He can't be Moshe Rabbeinu when he dies, because then he would be irreplaceable. But if he is reduced somehow, he, Moshe Rabbeinu, his leadership is reduced, then it makes sense to say that Yoshua ben Nun, Yoshua will be in charge. Even though nobody thinks that Yoshua was comparable to Moshe Rabbeinu, not in terms of his relationship to others, relationship to God, relationship to Torah, certainly not. I told you that the Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Tvura, the Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, he left thousands of questions unanswered. He, Moshe Rabbeinu. And these thousands of questions that were unanswered, Moshe Rabbeinu would have sort of turned to God and said, could you tell me, you know, 1 to 10, yes or no? And, you know, thousands of questions like that. So Yoshua, in the Gemara says this, that Yoshua turned to God and Yoshua said, just like you did for Moshe Rabbeinu, do for me. Tell me the answer to all these questions. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's over. That's over. Now you have to figure it out yourself. You have to go like this, right? Figure it out yourself. Figure out what it is that you're supposed to do and what the halacha should be. And that's, of course, what kept ultimately, maybe not at that time, not at the time of the Shoftim and Melachim, but at a later date, right? Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, said in an amazing statement, which turned out to be a tour de force, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, oh, we're just going to learn Torah. That's going to be us. We'll self-define. We will redefine ourselves. Before, we had communities, and we had halachot, and we had the Beit HaMikdash, and we had a lot of things that made us into a kind of a national community. Now we have nothing. We have nothing. The destruction of the temple, at least according to the stories that are told in the Gemara, was not just a destruction. It was a wipeout. There was nothing left. There was no way that B'nai Yisrael could kind of relate to the temple after the Roman destruction of the temple. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was the one who was given the credit of reorienting. I mean, I assume that the historians can come and nitpick here and nitpick there, and it'll be a little bit different. But well, that's good. I don't mean to say it's not good. I just mean to say that it's hard to imagine that if the classical Italians, right, would have said, they're speaking in Latin. And they would have said, we're going to define ourselves by literature. I mean, that would have lasted nothing. We'd be gone. We'd be gone because literature, of course, literature, science, math, these are all the ways of dividing the people into those who are, know about it and those who don't know about it. And so the same thing would be true about the Jews. Except that it wasn't. And you have for the Jews this remarkable idea, I think, today, even though, I have reservations, but today you have this remarkable idea of Daf Yomi. What is remarkable about Daf Yomi, to my mind, that the people who participate don't know what they're doing, which I think is quite remarkable. It was the will to be part of it is greater than the capacity that people have to be part of it, which is, again, I think something that the Jews have done. Daf Yomi is just an indication, but people go to Daf Yomi. Where it takes me, a lot longer to learn most dapim in the Gemara than a daily foray into the Gemara. So I assume that many people are like me. But if not, then not. So now, here, another pasuk. Pasuk Yudalid. Very tough pasuk. Hinei kamtem tachat avoteichem tarbut anashim chataim. You've replaced them. Here it is, assessment of history. The Jews who rejected Eretz Yisrael the first time around, you are them. You're rejecting Eretz Yisrael the second time around. Right? Anashim chataim. Lispot od al charon af Hashem el Yisrael. To create a state of anger by God against B'nai Yisrael. Ki teshuvun me'acharav v'yesaf od la'nichor b'amidbar v'shichatem l'kol ha'am hazeh. You're going to destroy everything. You'll destroy everything in the desert. I mean, these are pretty strong words. These are pretty strong words that Moshe Rabbeinu has. So that the attitude, if you were learning the parasha, I would say that a good question to ask is to try to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu was at the end so understanding. Right? You see, it says in the Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vayikshu elav ayomru gidrot zon nivne limiknenu po v'arim letapenu. They said, no, you don't understand. We're going to build a compound if we are sheep, and we'll take care of the women and children, right? We'll make them cities, whatever that means. But nachnu nechaletz chushim, we're going to go first. We'll be the first ones, lifnei b'nei Yisrael, ad asher im haviyonum el mikolman. We're going to bring them to their place. Vayashav tapenu barea mivtzar mipnei yoshei haaretz. Vodashuvil batenu ad hitnachel b'nei Yisrael ish nachalato. We're not going to come back to our homes. I mean, this also strikes us as being like a little romantic here. Like, well, what are they going to do? What are the families going to do? But okay, it doesn't matter. What I think is important is that they win. They win. And the first problem, as I say, the first problem understanding this parsha is, how come they won? What did they win? What did they win? 1 second. No, this is the same. In any event, if you were learning this parasha and you opened up to Dvarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells the story over again, it's a little bit different. He's much more proactive, and he makes sure that it's done in the proper way, and etc. But here in the story in Matot, where it's actually happening, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be cut out of the picture. Seems to be cut out of the picture. Okay? Now if you look at... now we could go to the sheet. The sheet. Bamidbar Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Lamed Gimel. You see, there's a secret in the secret. The Pasuk says, Vayitein lehem Moshe levnei Gad v'lei Ruvain ulechatzi shevet v'nashe ben Yosef et mamlechet Sichon melech ha-emoriv et mamlechet Og melech ha-bashan ha-aretz la-areha v'gulot areha aretz aviv. Moshe Rabbeinu gave to them B'nei Gad, B'nei Ruvain, Chatzi Shevet Menashe et mamlechet, the land which was once the kingdom of Sichon and the kingdom of Og, the earth, the land, and included all of the cities, Bigvulot Arei Haaretz Aviv. Right? Within the boundaries of the land of Sichon and Og. So in this Pasuk, there's of course a further mystery. Do you see it? In this Pasuk, which seems to be simple and straightforward, but there's a further mystery. Good.
I can hear what?
Say it again.
Chatzi Shevet Menashe.
Yeah.
What year?
No. I didn't. I meant yeah. Now I hear it.
Oh. So what's the mystery?
How did they suddenly come into the picture?
Okay, that's a mystery.
Who says they might be on the other side of the?
What's another mystery?
Why are we half?
Well, you could even start before that, and say, what is half? What is half of a shevet? I mean, how do you get that? Why was there half? What was the half doing there? Why are they just introducing this pasuk? Not so clear. Let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban tries to answer this question, which just tells us that the question is a good question. In the beginning, Menashe wasn't there. It was just Reuven and Gad, right? Aval ka'asher chalaka aretz l'shnei ashvatim, ra'ashi eretz gedola yoter min ha'ra'ui lahem. How's that for an idea? When Moshe Rabbeinu gave out territory to Reuven and Gad, he saw that they actually received too much. You know, because there was some kind of way of measuring how much land each tribe should get. And eventually we say it was divided up by families. each family was granted a certain amount of land, right? And you know, and you multiplied by the number of families in the tribe, and that's how you knew how much there was. So if you figured it out, there was too much. Reuven and Gad received too much. And then Moshe Rabbeinu went around and he sold parcels of land. He said, who else wants to be in this deal? Who else would like to come along and get land on the eastern side of the Jordan River? And there were people from Menashe, from the tribe of Menashe, who said, we'll go for that. We'll do it, you know. Ulai anshei mekne hayu. You see that the Ramban is making all this up. He's saying, ulai, perhaps they were also shepherds. Perhaps, you know, even though they were not on the level of Reuven and Gad, but they may have been themselves shepherds. And they said, well, we want the same deal that Reuven and Gad are getting. Then he says, V'natan lehem chelkam. Natan lehem chelkam. So the Ramban says, well, you know, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu was sort of in charge of this project. And the initiators were Reuven and Gad. And Chatzi Shevet Menashe proves somehow that it wasn't fixed by heaven. It wasn't an inheritance of Eretz Yisrael that came from heaven, according to the Ramban. Yes? It was usually we think that the inheritance, there was some kind of a pious. There was some kind of a...
A lottery,
right. There's some kind of a lottery. And that the land was divided up according to that lottery, which was, of course, divine. Right? That's what a lottery is. It's like God's opinion. Right? That's one of the things about a lottery. And that's why, that's what we say, why Haman tried to do in Bnei Yisrael with a lottery. Because he wanted it to have divine approval. Okay, maybe he didn't. But that was his idea. That was his idea. So now he says, "Betam ulechatzi." And so, if this is all like just people who are interested, and maybe people in Shevet Menashe who had sheep, so why does it say in the Pasuk, why does the Pasuk say Chatzi, that there were half? After all, we're used to thinking that the Torah is very precise. Right? That's what Rashi taught us. So where's the Chatzi? Where's the half? So the Rabban says, Chelek Echad Mihem. It doesn't mean half. It just means a portion. Part of that, part of Menashe, came to do this. That's what the Ramban says. V'chein az v'yichalek ha'am Yisrael l'chaytzi chaytzi ha'am haya achrei tivni ben ginat ratzi achrei Omri. Omri is the name of a king in Israel. Omri. It's like a popular Israeli name, I think. Maybe not. It is. What?
Sharon, right?
It's what?
One of Sharon's
sons. Does that make it popular?
He's not popular, yeah.
He's not. But
in any event, Omri, and this other guy, who most people don't remember, Tivni ben Ginat, were vying for kingship. And for several years, they fought against each other, neither of them being able to overcome the other. Eventually, Omri won. And Tivni Ben Giat was sent home. He was not able to do it, right? And he says, and there it says also, Chatsiya Am Haya Acharei Tivni Ben Giat, V'Chetzi Acharei Omri. Half of the nation was, well, what is the Ramban trying to prove?
That
chetzi
doesn't mean 50%.
Right, that chetzi is not precise. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean exactly half of something. Mm-hmm. It means a section, a part. That's what the Ramban is saying. Vayinyan, hayinyan, now he gives you further explanation. Ki b'nei Menashe ayu shmone batei avot. Kakatu beparshat hapkudim. Right further above in Pinchas, last week's parasha, the families of Menashe are mentioned, and there are eight of them. Right? Well, Mishpachat HaMachiri, one of the sons of Menashe, Mishpachat HaGiladi, Yashuba Eretz Hazot, they inherited the land because they were warriors. And they conquered the land on their own. So even though in the Chumash it says that Bnei Yisrael fought against Sichon and against Og, the Ramban explains that it doesn't mean that everybody fought equally. That everybody, you know, some people worked in the kitchen and some people were in the front lines. That's how it is in an army, right? Not every. So these guys were big and strong, and as part of a family, they conquered part of the land of Sichon and Og. And conquering part of the land of Sichon, they sort of felt it belonged to them. In any event, they saw that Reuben and Gad are getting it, so why shouldn't they get it? According to, right? Mishpachat HaMachiri, Mishpachat HaGiladi, Yashu, Ba'aretz HaZot, Ki Ayu Anshei Chayil, V'Lakdu Ota La'atzmam. They were strong, and they're good fighters, and they captured it for themselves. V'Yitein Lehem Chelek Rav Mehem. And so Moshe gave them the majority. V'sheisha mishpachot avruat hayarden. And these six families who conquered land in Sichon and Og, they also went first and crossed the Jordan. And he quotes a pasuk, Dichti b'Yoshua v'yi livnei Moshe hanotarim l'mishpachotam v'livnei Abiezer v'livnei Chel. Chalek v'nei Asriel, v'nei Shechel, v'nei Chayv, v'nei Shmida, v'zeo ma shekatuv shav, v'yiklu chavlei Menashe asara, levad me'eretz ha-Gilad, v'abashan asher me'eva le'yardei. Okay, so what is it in what way has the Ramban helped us? What way has the Ramban helped us? According to the Ramban, when Reuven and Gad came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said to him, look, we have all these sheep, we have all these flocks, and we'd like to settle here. And okay, we'll make a deal about going and fighting. We'll fight first and then we'll come back. But this is going to be our place. What did the Ramban say? When they came to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what I mean, I wouldn't say that the Ramban says what I'm about to say, but I think that you can infer it from the Ramban. And when Reuven and Gad, usually when we read the Psukim about Reuven and Gad, and they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, they said whatever they said, we always think of it in terms of ground zero. In other words, Reuven and Gad, they were with everybody else. They were not already there. But you see from the Ramban says that the Davka, the people of Menashe, they had already conquered the land. It already belonged to them. So when Reuven and Gad came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, look, here we are, we're going to do it. So what they really were saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, what they really, really were saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, let's formalize the de facto situation, which is totally different. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was not asked a shaila. He wasn't asked to paskin the shaila. He was asked to work it out. He was asked to work it out. That he said, well, to work it out, you have to go to fight, you have to be there. So the Rabban says all of that about the Chatzi Shevet Menashe, where he says they had already conquered parts of the land of Sichon and Og. They already were living in that land as though it belonged to them. So one solution to the mystery of B'nai Gad and Reuven is here in the words of the Rabban. Another solution.
From which Shevet were they? Because the Chefer.
What?
So in last week's parasha we have the Benotz Achad fighting for their right to be in Eretz Israel, and this week we have Menashe here splitting in two.
So you would think that the Ramban is presenting us with a unreasonable scenario.
I don't know about unreasonable, but
okay.
Katzer. I mean, it could definitely be.
Let's look at a little bit of the Hamek Dovar, which is on the upper side. Do you have an upper side of a piece of paper?
Yeah, Moshe seemed not happy when they first came to him. Moshe seemed to not be happy. Says, well, why would you not be happy if it was just the land that Manasseh already conquered?
Look at that. Okay. You see, the psukim here are from Devarim Perek Gimel. Right, next week is Maaseh, and the week after that is Devarim. Right, Devarim always comes before Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av this year is a Nidche. Right, it's on Sunday. Tisha B'Av, the date Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos. But thankfully, we'd rather eat chont than be unhappy. So that's what we do. So here, look at the psukim. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody knows that at the beginning of Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu recounts certain historical events that are good for Musar. So listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, pasuk Yud Bet. Veta aretz hazot yarashnu ba'eita hi. Right, we inherited this land, Miaro Er Shal Nachal Arnon, Vatri Chara Gilad, Varav, Natati, Laruveni, Vilagadi. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu, who did he give it to? Reuven and Gad. Vyeter Hagilad, Vichola Bashan, Mamlechet Og, Natati, Lechatzi, Shevet HaMenashe, So what are you missing here in the Moshe Rabbeinu recounting of the story? You're missing tension. You're missing Moshe Rabbeinu disagreeing. All you have is the conclusion. And that conclusion is Moshe Rabbeinu's conclusion when he tells the story. Okay? Kol HaBashan. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Ya'ir ben Menashe lakach et kol chevel argov ad gvul ha'shuri v'machati v'ikra otam al shmo et ha'bashan chavot Ya'ir al ha'yom hazeh. In other words, all the children of Menashe were very involved. As the Rabban said, they were fighters, they were strong, and so they took their part. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to Reuven and Gad, but it doesn't say exactly what Reuven got and what God got, but it does say what Menashe got. So now you have, I wanted to look a little bit at the Hamek Davar. Hamek Davar is the Netziv, if you remember, right? Naftali, Tzvi, Yehuda, Berlin. Who was the Rosh Yeshiva? Who was Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, of the Yeshiva in Volozhin? He was the last Rosh Yeshiva. Under his jurisdiction, eventually the Yeshiva was closed. The Yeshiva was closed because the Russian government wanted to impose certain kinds of restrictions on the study in the Yeshiva, and they tried to avoid it. They tried to avoid it, but eventually they realized they wouldn't be able to, and they closed the yeshiva. So he said, but he in the yeshiva he gave a shir and chumash every morning for years. Like every time he would go to the next pasuk, and that shir that he gave every morning ended up as a shir, as a book, as a perush. Called Hamek Davar. Hamek Davar, that's like further investigation of. Look what he says. If you look at the third line, no, the first line, the fourth line. Koach HaTorah Ma'at. You know, everything with the Netziv is Torah. Everything is Torah. So he says, Kedetanya, you see in the fifth line, the second word. Kedetanya, there's a brighter, and Avos the Rabbi Nosson, Sofer Kavav, Avos the Rabbi Nosson is like the Tosefta of Pirkei Avot. Barishona, Ayu Amrim Dagan beYehuda veTeven beGalil umotz beEver haYarden uLinyan Torah myRishon. So this distinction that's in the Avot the Rabbi Nosson is about Torah. UChedeIso beMedrash Perik Toldos Rov Dagan Zet Talmud uKvar Amaz Moshe Lehem Bamro. ודאו חטאתכם אשר תמצא אתכם כמו שכתב בספר במדבר right our pasuk ואחר שגלו בני ראובן ובני גד הוקל גם קדושת ארץ ישראל כדאיסו בערכין. Anyway, I'll try to summarize. The Netziv reminds us that even though the area called Eiver HaYarden, the eastern side of the Jordan River, was not equal to Eretz Yisrael proper in terms of halachot. For example, I mean, Shemitah is something that you do in Eretz Yisrael proper, but not in Eiver HaYarden Mizracha. You can bring matanot sometimes from the Eiver Yarden to the Beit HaMikdash, but not always. In other words, it created a status which was not equal to the status of Eretz Yisrael, but a status that could only be created by people from Bnei Yisrael settling there and living there. And that's what created the status. In other words, if you go back to the beginning, you could read the whole story differently. The Bnei Gad and Reuven go to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, we want to do it. We want to make this land into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it won't be 100% Eretz Yisrael, but it'll be more Eretz Yisrael than any place else in the world. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, but what are the people going to say? That you're not going to fight? That you're not going to... In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu basically agreed with them, according to this reading of the text. He said, it's a great idea, but we have to deal somehow with the feelings of the people. So the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, they said, we'll do it. We will protect the image of Am Yisrael, that we're all going together to fight. We're all going together to be victorious in Eretz Yisrael. And so, according to this reading, the reading of the HaMekdavar, we're talking about a different topic. We're talking about a different topic where, like, everybody is in greed that this is the right thing to do. Because after all, the result of what they did, B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, produced Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. Oh, it's true. It was not the same Kedushat Eretz Yisrael as we know about from Eretz Yisrael proper. But it was an element of Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. So they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, don't you think we should do it? Don't you think we should create this entity called Kedushat Eretz Yisrael on the eastern side of the Jordan River? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I think it's a great idea, but what are we going to do about this? So what are we going to do about that? And so they all agreed. They all agreed that they would not take any limits in the Kedushat Eretz Yisrael department. So I think that you could say that the Ramban on the one hand and the Netziv on the other hand look at the story quite differently. Right? There's a whole, right? The Ramban talks about Chatzi Shevet Menashe as being powerful people who have already achieved this conquest of the land. And they go to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, look, we're here already, so let's take it. And Moshe Rabbeinu then, of course, talks to them about how this is going to look and how terrible it'll be. According to the Netziv, they there is this opportunity that B'nai Yisrael have to create a new element in the world, something that never existed before, and that's the Kedusha of Eiver HaYarden Mizracha. Yes, it's not the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, but it's more than the Kedusha of the rest of the world. And so when Reuven and Gad came to Moshe Rabbeinu and made that suggestion, Moshe Rabbeinu agreed. It was only the technical things, the way people will look at it and understand it, that he was worried about. He wasn't worried about the actual fact. He said, the fact was a good idea, and that's what should happen.
Is there an element here of the Tzon being Kilu Torah, that they were big Talmidei Chachamim?
Because
he says the gun, and so he's likening the produce.
You need three guys.
Hmm?
All you need is three guys.
Three guys.
Three guys who know the score. I mean, all women who know the score. Well, that's how it works. People who know things like to talk to other people who know things. The same things, you know.
Is that an Eiver HaYarden, or it could be in Chutz La'aretz also?
No, it can't be. We don't know. And I mean, there is a Gemara in Gittin about that. No, it can't be. It's only, this is the limit of Eretz Yisrael. Eiver HaYarden HaMizrach. Tov.